Good morning. Today is Sunday, April 28th, 2019. Whenever you receive a compliment, doesn't it bless your heart? Or maybe it can be a little awkward to receive praise, but we should allow the commendation to inspire us to even greater endeavors. After all, don't the uplifting words inspire our hearts and fuel our souls to even greater endeavors, to be a better person? In turn, our appreciation, which is thank you, a thank you, for the honor from others, returns to them a certain gratification as well. After all, it should be our expectation that the Spirit of God would work in the heart of another to send encouragement our way. We all need encouragement. We don't want to brush it off as though it carries no value. Believers are wise to be biblically minded concerning the valuable functioning of edification. Throughout the church epistles, Paul spoke time and again about building up the church. Everything he taught, everything he did was to that end. Edification is a godly progression. It's needful and it's powerful. Not only is there a sensory or a physical enjoyment, but certainly edification carries weighty spiritual benefits for all. And when I say for all, I mean to the one bestowing the honor, to the one receiving the honor, and ultimately to the body of Christ, and all those together work to benefit the kingdom of God. Doesn't that absolutely reveal the true nature of our Heavenly Father? That God is for everyone. God is for everyone. There is no such thing as a blessing at the expense of another. Because the way God has designed it, built into the fabric of giving and serving, is God's spiritual return. Even when our giving seems the simplest, you know, maybe it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing, and we were able to do something just in a moment, the return is always abundant and multifarious, meaning it's just varied. It's according to whatever. It covers so many situations. God's heart is always to be built up, is always to build, to edify, fueled with his perfect love. In the Greek, the base word for edification, edify, edifies, edifying, all the different grammatical uses of the word, is the word for architecture, meaning an edifice or a structure. And it refers not only to the noun, but it also refers to the verb. In other words, it refers to the structure and it refers to the building of the structure. In the raising of a building, every thought, plan, and all the work of construction moves toward the quality completion of the project. Biblically, it refers to building up the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ, to the maturing of each individual, and to those individuals being members in particular in the body of Christ. And the completion of that project is on the Lord's day. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19, that we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. So you think, as you read through Acts, Romans, all of the church epistles, you read through all that and you see that everything he did, the way in which he handled every situation, was for their edification. That's quite a statement. So whenever we read in the epistles that Paul, whatever we read in the epistles that Paul did, he said it was for the edification, for the building up of the believers as individuals, and for the building of the body of Christ. And, of course, the body of Christ is everyone who is born again. Ephesians 3:20 says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. And in biblical times, the cornerstone was the principal stone of the structure. It was the first one put into place. And of course, we know from that little parable, building your house upon the rock, building your house upon the sand, great attention would have been given by the builders to make sure that that cornerstone was not jeopardized by any rush or fault in the preparation for it. It was the foundation in the sense that once in place, it became, that chief cornerstone became the standard upon which all the other stones would be placed, were laid. The rest of the building would conform to the size and the angles of the cornerstone. Because have you ever walked out and found two stones that were perfect rectangles or perfect squares or perfect circles? No, but however that was, they would groom that stone so that they could then groom all the other stones to go around it. So you see, it really means something when we read that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:21 says, "In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." And all the building is the members of the body. We are framed together, closely joined together, organized compactly as parts of a building. And all the time it's conforming to that chief cornerstone. The holy temple is all of us. Edification involves, too, the work of the gift ministries. As Paul said, everything that he and others did was for the edification of the brethren, for the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 instructs us about some aspect of God's provision for the building. He gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The gift ministries were God's idea. He had this idea, and he set them in the body of Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 12 says it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And those ministers are going to be there until Christ returns for his church. With the gifts in operation and the members in particular, which is all the born again ones, walking in love, walking in light, walking circumspectly, the benefit is we won't be tossed around. We won't be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Because the enemy of God wants nothing more than to take the house down. He wants to tear the house down stone by stone. But we are to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 says, growing up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head of the body of Christ. When born-again ones walk contrary or in the vanity of their minds, it is as though they've lost their heads. That's what it's like. And, boy, I've had days when I wondered where my head was. I seem to have lost it. And literally and figuratively, losing your head does not prolong or sustain life as we know it, whether it's physical life or spiritual blessing life. Christ is our head, and Colossians 3 says that our life is hid in him. The old man is dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So Christ is the head, and Ephesians 4 goes on to tell us in verse 16, from whom? The head, from the head, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the body edifies itself. That's the effectual working. And fitly joined together just means to organize compactly, closely framed together. From the head, who is Christ, the whole body of Christ is joined together in affection to be one building, one building. That word compacted means to merge, to unite, to fuse, where parts of the body are affectionately united into one whole. We have all the joints, and all those are secured. And I think of it, you know, anybody that's going to be inside a building, you don't want the building to leak. You don't want it to lean. You don't want it to blow over. You don't want it to sink. People who build those buildings do it to make sure that it is going to stand. That's the ideal. Mm-hmm. So each stone is prepared. We're members in particular of that. That's what 1 Corinthians 12:27 says. We're members in particular. That means individually or in part. And each stone, of which we would be one in the body of Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, it is prepared, it is beveled, it's smoothed, and then set in place in perfect harmony with that chief cornerstone. Even the stone that's way out at the edge is in harmony with that chief cornerstone, because every stone is fitting around that chief corner. So it's not just the perimeter, it's every stone is in coordination, ultimately, with that chief corner. As laborers with God, we put on the mind of Christ and allow the work of the Holy Spirit to work within us. Individually, what can we do to contribute to the building or the edifying of this body, this wonderful body? Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Romans 15:1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. And what that means is we seek to be agreeable, to accommodate the opinions and interests of others. It's not our way or the highway. We know that may not always be possible, but as Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 15:2 says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So we're not scheming over what we can get from our neighbor, but rather we're listening, we're observing to know how we could help, what could we give. The scriptures talk about Jesus not coming to be served. He didn't come to serve, but he came to serve. He sought to do what was beneficial to others, and ultimately the laying down of his own life. In contrast, Paul repeatedly had to confront the Corinthians about their selfish concerns. 1 Corinthians 3:9 puts our true concerns in perspective. We are God's building. That's a pretty short summation for what is our world. This is my world. This is your world. You are God's building. And as a church, Paul issued a warning to the believers in Corinth having to do with their selfishness among the believers. And starting in chapter 8, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. So we have the knowledge that we are saved by grace. We all know that even a sin that goes unconfessed is not going to keep us from our promised eternal life. But it is charity that builds up. Verse 10 goes on to say, if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? The word embolden is the word for edify. Now, it's edification in the negative. Instead of building up, or instead of building up to good, it's a building up to something bad. It still means building up. But ultimately, it indicates it's going to be torn down. What are we building for others when we abuse the grace of God? Instead of building up the church, it builds a stronghold in the life of another person. Being free from the law is not a commandment to sin, nor is it a license to sin. The apostle uses this word edification here with irony because of the action of a brother building up his brother who is weak, causing him to compromise his scruples. The way we conduct our lives, the things we allow in the name of grace, is making the weakness in our brother even more weak. Now, does that make sense? Makes it even more weak. Instead of strengthening him in that area, he has an idea that, gee, he can do this, so can I. And he'll probably act like it's on steroids. And when the mature ones get together, they don't abuse grace in their manner of conduct either. The less mature believer, seeing the freedoms we allow, will abandon all restraint and do likewise, because people just want to imitate. People want to imitate those that they consider to be more mature. They've been in the Word a long time. Watching another believer conduct their lives on the edge, so to speak, can really desensitize the conscience of a young believer. It should not, but it can. And the reason we know that it can is because it's addressed meticulously here in the Word of God. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the selfish aspect that all things are lawful? Or are we focusing on the aspect that not all things are expedient and not all things edify? Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Expedient means to bring together for the betterment, to contribute in order to help. And the etymology of the root of this word indicates there is a compelling by the Holy Spirit for not acting according to our own will or expressing the thoughts that would belong to the old man, but expressing the mind of Christ according to his word. It expresses a responsibility of restraint. So, like a cross to bear, so to speak. As mature ones, we are willing to carry, to bear the burden, the restraint of indulgence for the betterment of the weaker believer. The Holy Spirit plays a big part in our ability to uphold integrity. Because again, it's not just going through motions. It's not setting little rules for yourself. It's having a care and a concern for edification of the body of Christ. Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of enemy, of any, meaning that he was not going to be brought under the authority of anything that was not expedient to the edification of the church for the work of the ministry. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8, he says, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction. In this verse, boast means to glory in the Lord. So it is a valid glory for all of us. It is joy and rejoicing because God gave us authority, which includes the right to exercise that power or authority. So rather than be under the authority of thinking of myself, I want to be under the rightful authority to think of the body, to think of the body of Christ, to edify them and not for destruction. Because that is a power that we can come under. It's an authority. Our right to exercise this authority has been given for edification. It's for building up. It's for increasing, not for destruction or casting down the godly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, back in verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So the only thing our power and authority should destroy are strongholds that we have in our lives that have bound us and keep us from maturing in Christ. That is the abundant contribution each person can make to building up the body. Get ourselves cleaned up. Do not remain under the authority of a moral weakness or a habit. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What a powerful verse this is. I actually had to apologize to my husband before I could even teach on this verse, because we do get down in our own lives, or we let ourselves weaken and we start spewing things that aren't correct. We start saying things that aren't edifying. But this means, let no defiling speech come forth from your mouth concerning feelings, affections, deeds, and sayings. Just change those things. We have the power. We have the authority to change those things. It is God's will that mankind be nourished and preserved. He set the cornerstone in place, and all the other stones are set in conjunction with the corner. I mean, it's spiritually speaking of the building, it's like the conjunctions in the heavenlies, how the stars are so perfectly set in their courses. Christ is our head. We should be set. The supplier has supplied every last detail for our work of the building of the body of Christ. The word is the blueprint. Christ is the master builder or the superintendent of the project. And we labor together with him. This is a labor that affects all eternity. Not only is it a labor, but an honor that comes with many rewards. Colossians 2, verse 7 says it well. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And in 1 Timothy 1:4, we're encouraged. This was Paul's encouragement to Timothy. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which just minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So In our lives, we don't want to minister questions, but we want to give grace to the hearers, because that is ministering godly edification. In Acts 20, verse 32, it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Paul committed the beloved ones to God's charge and to the word of grace, which is able to build them up. Our building blocks are not from self-help books. Our building blocks are not how to win friends and influence people. Great books, nice keys, nice tips if you're a salesman. They're nice. They have their place in niceties of life, in the protocols of etiquette. They're wonderful tips. I certainly don't want to defrock the importance of niceties in life. But there are a million and one other self-help books. And the building of God is not built upon tips for life. Our building blocks are from God. Who wrote the book of love? God. That's the one book. That dates me, doesn't it? And the word of God says those words are spirit and truth. And both of those words indicate power beyond our wildest dream, power beyond our imagination to try and figure it all out. Our building tools are spiritual. The Holy Spirit is at center stage in true edification. Building the church is an all-hands-on-deck kind of situation. In conjunction with God, His Word, our Lord, and the gift of Holy Spirit, we are to be on the job, laboring away at ourselves, with others, and for that building up of the church. Paul traveled, he wrote epistles, he prayed, he sent ministers into areas of need. Many ways Paul labored to build a church. But I would like to close today with just looking at a couple of scripture openings, epistle openings, how he labored to build the church, how he edified and fueled the believers in the epistles that he wrote to them. Because sometimes he couldn't get to them. So all he had, you know, he couldn't text, he couldn't phone. Mm-hmm. He wrote epistles and had them delivered. Well, in Colossians, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, how would you feel getting that letter? How would you feel? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Now, how would you feel? I mean, what a genuine compliment, how he noticed their lives. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. Now, how do you feel? And ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Woo! Andy's going up. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire for you, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul just told them what he wanted for them. Three verses there where he details out how he's praying for them, what he wants them to have. Don't you just feel his love if you were the recipient of this? Well, we are. Paul highly praised his brethren in Colossae because he knew it would encourage them. And we should do likewise. Now, here is just a few short verses of what he told the church in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians 1:1 will start. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus into the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or adequate, because that your faith grows exceedingly. Woo! And the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. What a praise. Now, he wasn't just saying that to make them feel good. This is what he spiritually recognized. These are the reports that came back to him. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Paul knew it wasn't easy, but they walked the word. Their love abounded to each other. You know, and then additionally, we have the worship manifestations, which is a whole other subject for the edifying of the believers gathered for fellowships. And of course, they liberally add to the building up of the body of Christ. And all I will say about that is go to the word, read those scriptures, and seek to excel. Seek to excel. Because that is a sure way to build up the body of Christ when we come together. And when you have time this week, check out Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 through 8. 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 5. Titus 1, 1 through 9. You'll see the edification, the comfort, the encouragement, the praise, the honor, and most of all, the agape love that Paul had for the believers from the various places where he had visited to teach and to minister. So have a wonderful week enjoying and thinking about edification. It will definitely build you up. So our love to you all, and God bless you.